and welcome to DAP Happy, episode 7. This is the podcast about DAPs from the good folk at DAP Radar. I'm your host, John, and joining me this week is Dragos. How's it going?
Hey, John. All good, all great. Everything is fine. We saw some great trends in the past weeks, so yeah, I'm happy to discuss them.
Good. And you are our Axie Infinity expert at DAP Radar. So that's particularly good you're on for this week's show, because Axie Infinity has been one of the big kind of stories of the week. Do you want to take us through what's been going on with Axie Infinity and its small love potion?
Yep, sure. So in just a few words about the small love potion, it's a token that it was added, I don't know, probably 6-7 months ago, something like this. It was added to the Axie Infinity universe, let's say. So basically, in order to breed, kind of to multiply your axes, you need 2 axes and some tokens. And more you breed the same axes, more small love potions you need. Basically, it works like, let's say, like as a utility token inside the Axie Infinity universe. And yeah, recently we have seen a really pump of the price of the SLP. Immediately after it was introduced, someone from the community actually created a liquidity pool on Uniswap. But then the price was kind of stable since then. I mean, it went a bit down after the launch. It was some hype and so on. But then for like, I don't know, 5-6 months, everything was kind of stable. Everything was, everybody was like playing, let's say, farming those SLPs, you know, adding them to Uniswap, trading them and so on. But now suddenly, like last week or like 2 weeks ago, we have seen a huge increase in the price of SLP. First I was wondering what's going on, like what's happening. Did they launch a new feature? Is something going on? But actually, yeah, we have seen that the price pump was caused by a 4chan community. So, but yeah, it was interesting to see that even if it was kind of pumped by a community just for, let's say, for increasing the price and maybe profiting out of that, it kind of resulted in higher activity on the Axie Infinity numbers, like number of users, increased volume and so on. So that shows that even if it was pumped for, let's say, different reasons, it kind of resulted in new players playing Axie Infinity. So I think that was great to see.
It's kind of interesting talking to some of the people at Axie, because obviously, but they were not aware of it at all. It was a group of kind of people who may have been doing it, as you say, for just to make money on their own reasons. I think one of the reasons they seem to have chosen it is it was at a very low level. So it was, let's have a look what the price was. So before they started their activity, the price was 0.003, maybe 0.4 dollars. So 3,000ths, 4,000ths of a dollar. So obviously a very low level. But there was the circulation. So the number of tokens is pretty small. I think about 4 million tokens. So you don't actually, the market cap, yes. So the market cap is never going to be very big. So you potentially could buy a lot of tokens with not much money. And then obviously they built this. It seems to be something that people do quite a lot now on some of these kind of social networks, because we had a whole thing with Dogecoin as well at roughly the same time, where they just kind of like all try and pile into a cryptocurrency. And it's a bit like they're building like an ad hoc pyramid scheme where they're just encouraging everyone to like, the price of this is going up, and of course, because people are putting money in, the price is going up. And then the people who originally put it in like dump all their tokens, and the people who come in last are end up taking the loss. So I don't know. I don't approve of that at all. but as you say, what's interesting is I think this will have actually had a reasonable kind of long term kind of a benefit for Axie. Because I mean, just on the price. The price now is still up like 400% over 2 weeks. So it peaked at just over 20 cents on the dollar, and now it's down to 2 cents on the dollar. So it's up from, you know, 4,000ths of a dollar to 2 cents. So that's not bad if you had some. And I actually did have a bit of Axie Infinity, a bit of small love potions prior to this, because I had some of the liquidity pool. So I'm quite into Uniswap liquidity pools. I think they're quite interesting to look at, and they're quite useful, obviously, for the projects that to allow people to trade in and out of those things. So it's interesting from that point of view. I did think about selling at the peak and then decided I couldn't really be bothered to deal with it all, especially with gas fees. What's interesting is they put out some data. So actually put out some data about what happened. And I think it's good that it happened to Axie Infinity because they're a pretty small community and they don't have that many players, really. They're not the biggest blockchain game. But I think they have quite a sticky community. So I think when people, get attracted into it, then they find they're quite friendly people and the game's fairly easy to understand. It's not overly complex. So people kind of get like it kind of go, oh, this is actually quite good. I didn't really know what it was. I came into it maybe because I thought I was going to make some money. But this game actually looks quite nice and it's quite open. And so they had a 15% increase in the install base on their alpha version, which is a PC download. 600 more Discord members. And this is the most interesting one, I think. They were like 358 people who bought axes, which are the little kind of characters in the game. So that's quite a reasonable kind of increase in terms of people who wanted to spend some cryptocurrency to actually buy the in-game kind of characters. And I think they kind of, I think that also gives the Axie team a bit of kind of confidence that if they ever get to the point of wanting to kind of do some kind of, say, like consumer marketing, or even they're not done any marketing at all on the game. But if they did spend some money on marketing, they kind of feel like, well, we're going to convert these users to part of our community. They're going to spend money buying axes, and that's kind of good for the whole community, because if they're buying axes, they're buying axes off the people who are already in the game, who are breeding axes. So you kind of get this kind of new money flowing into the system as well. So all in all, I think it's going to be kind of pretty positive for them.
Yeah, sure. Like regarding the NFTs, they like even on OpenSea they had like I think a 900% increase in that period. So like users were actually even trading in it, like the axes on OpenSea and so on. So yeah, as you said, like that's great. They had new users buying the NFTs, but also like even more, let's say, current players that started to trade, because actually if you were breeding Axie and playing, you could have even earned, I don't know, $5 to $10 per hour or something just by farming those tokens in those specific days. So yeah, I think this drove up also the trading of those NFTs.
And I think it does, I mean, more broadly, it does show you something that I guess we talk about a lot, which is the advantages of a public permissionless blockchain is someone can be building a project and someone else totally unrelated can be doing something else, which may be for their own purposes, but that can kind of, these two things can work in a synergenic manner. And I think that'd be, it's kind of hard to imagine something similar in the non-blockchain kind of sense, because the whole thing about blockchains is when you create these tokens and these NFTs, they live on the blockchain, people own them, people want to do different things with them. And that can have, unforeseen circumstances, I guess both good and bad, but in this case, good, where people are using them. And that's kind of drawing attention back into the kind of project that actually kind of originated them.
Yeah.
And I think, in future, there's a lot more potential for that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think even kind of getting here from the launch of the token was not, I'm not sure if it was on top of their mind when they did this, because as far as I know, they were not kind of expecting to, I mean, it was not the purpose to create that token, so it ends up on Uniswap and so on. So it's just that the community saw the opportunity, like, okay, I can play this game. I can, earn 500 tokens per hour by playing this game. Why should I not try to trade it for Ethereum if I keep playing this? So someone from the community took the token, added it to Uniswap and started to earn fees, or like started to trade it for other tokens. So I think that's, exactly, like the nature of being on the blockchain allows you to do that and allows the community to do that.
And that's a good point as well, because obviously Uniswap does that for the whole Ethereum kind of ecosystem, where so any ERC-20 token can be traded on Uniswap. Anyone, I don't think I've actually set up a liquidity pool, but I've been involved with quite a few of them. And basically anyone who has the tokens, all you need is two tokens, and you can set up a liquidity pool for the token you just kind of made. Obviously, it doesn't mean people are going to trade it, but that's kind of like a common good, that Uniswap, and I think that's the reason Uniswap has got so big in the DeFi space, is just because there's no permission. You just, if you want to basically set up a token exchange, they provide the framework, you put the tokens in, it's all automatic, you know, and you kind of see that. I mean, you see that particularly in the DeFi space at the moment, I guess, which has gone a bit crazy in terms of all these things that are kind of linking together.
Yeah, sure. I think, and like talking about Uniswap, I think it's happening also with the shards that we have recently seen. So yeah, that's something we can look into.
Yes. Should we talk about that? So this has been a project. It's fairly new again. I think about 2 months old. So it's called, I don't know how you pronounce it really. It's called Niftex. So NI, I don't say, yeah. So is it actually an NFTEX? I think is how you actually.
Yeah, I think so. That's how I say it too.
And that is kind of, it's so blockchain. And I love things that just technically seem kind of quite bizarre at first glance. And you can kind of thinking, why would anyone want to do that? And then, like, you know, a little bit later, it transpires that lots of people want to do that. So as a brief explanation, it's very simple, actually. What you do is you take an NFT, in the jargon we call an ERC-721, which is an Ethereum standard for a non-fungible token. Non-fungible just means every token is unique in some way. And you can basically take this token and you can kind of effectively split it in half, not quite in half, but almost in half. And then you can create an ERC-20, which is the standard fungible token, like just a Ether or BAT or DAI or something like that, a standard token. So you're basically taking this monolithic thing and making little tokens out of it and selling them off. So it kind of makes sense, I guess, if you have a very expensive NFT that you may have bought, some of these, you know, some of these crypto kitties or things that have gone for thousands of dollars. You may not be able to sell that on to someone because there's not many people who have the, you know, the value or the interest in buying, you know, particularly something like CryptoKitty, which at the moment is, you know, a bit of a, it's, people are still playing it, but it's a bit of an old project and people aren't spending the money they used to spend like 2 years ago. So if I'd spent, you know, I think the most expensive one was 600 ETH, wasn't it? That was the famous 600 ETH. No one's going to buy that because that was a total mistake. That was not a valuable crypto kitty that someone spent $170,000 on. But you could take that one because it's quite famous now and put it into the Niftex and then make a whole bunch of shards off it and sell those for a very small amount, and people would, you know, buy little shards of that, and then they can then trade those again through Uniswap. But you were getting involved in some of the Axie action, I think, on Niftex. Can you explain what's going on there?
Yeah, exactly. I actually bought like some shards on the last Axie that was sharded. It was called Skull Candy or something. So there are only, I think, 19 axes from that kind of collection, triple mystics or something. So
the mystics are the very valuable ones, aren't they?
Exactly. Like the value was around 50 Ether. I actually got some shards on that. I think that's, yeah, exactly. Like you did the intro about Niftex, and I think it's pretty interesting. That allows us to kind of anybody to sell a really expensive NFT, and that's great. I mean, we have seen axes, we have seen paintings, art, and so on. So I think that's great that there's a service like this. One interesting thing about, I mean, I think it works really well for art. I'm not sure how well it works right now for in-game NFTs. I mean, we'll see how things are evolving. As you said, it's really new. It's a really new also concept and so on. But the fact that you have that NFT and that NFT is kind of held by the smart contract, nobody can actually use that NFT in game. So nobody can do anything with that unless it's, again, bought, like everybody, kind of like someone is offering the money for that, and it's kind of getting all the shards back and it's kind of redeeming the shards for the NFT. But for as long as the NFT is sharded, nobody can use the NFT. And I think that's kind of, I would say, the biggest problem right now that I see with this concept. I think it's really interesting, but probably in the future we'll see games allowing, I know, users playing if they hold a certain amount of shards, for example, from an NFT. Like, we'll see. I think this space has a lot of room to grow, and I think it's really interesting.
This is really me talking probably a load of nonsense, but you could almost imagine, probably you couldn't do it for this current standard, but you have to come up with a new standard, but you can imagine like a, say that Mystic Axie that you bought a small percentage, you bought some shards of. If you had enough of percentage of that, you could almost kind of spawn if you had 10% of the shards, you could spawn an equivalent Axie with the 10% of the power or something, or whatever however the percentages work. Because I think you're definitely right when it comes to game items. The kind of point of the game items is to be, is to have power in the game. I mean, what their value is. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And while it can be useful to lock up some of those powerful characters, so there's not so many of them around, so the ones that are being used kind of get more power. It seems a little bit against kind of people would have to start making NFTs in a different way if everyone was starting to shard them. Something that has, I think, the funds I've got involved with, I bought some shards of an artwork. And I bought some shards of a Decentraland land. And that was kind of interesting because the land stuff is interesting because it's much easier for people to set up systems that you're actually generating revenue from those land systems.
Yeah, exactly.
And so at that point, you have you have a piece of land and then the shards become like shares. And then you could obviously, I imagine, it wouldn't be that difficult to set up a system where as that land generates cryptocurrency, that is then shared out amongst the token holders. I mean, you probably would come you probably have like the SEC coming after you because you were probably selling some sort of security or something, which is legally there'd be a whole bunch of issues around that. But in blockchain space, we're so experimental, or not we, but people are so experimental that they kind of just tend to experiment and not worry too much about law enforcement, because you may be breaking laws, but you're doing it in such a the general public's not going to get hurt, which is mainly what the SEC are trying to stop. People who don't understand what they're doing, giving away their life savings. That's not really happening in the crypto space, even though you may be breaking some laws. But it's easy for me to say. it's fascinating. I think going back to the thing we said before, that it is, I don't know the guys behind Niftex or why they had the idea of doing it, but you kind of come up with something. And then suddenly, even in this podcast, and I'm sure cleverer people than us have come up with much better solutions, but we've come up with some ideas about, how this thing kind of could happen. And I think that kind of feeds into the why, more generally, we think things like dApps are super interesting because they're, will be enabling users to have very different experiences than we could do if we didn't have blockchains.
Yeah, sure. One thing that I have also noticed with the shards, at least for the last few axes that were sharded, I mean, it's definitely nice. It's good. I'm not sure if how sustainable it is, exactly on how it works right now. Probably, yeah, there are some flaws and so on. But the kind of the trend that I have seen, the launch is going live. Someone is kind of sharding one NFT. The launch is kind of sold out. Everybody, all the shards are sold, and then you can kind of claim your shards. And as soon as the launch is ended, basically, and everybody can claim the shards, immediately there's a new pool on Uniswap, instantly, in a few minutes after the launch was ended, you can see a pool on Uniswap, and immediately the price kind of starts to go down because everybody's kind of trying to sell at a higher price. It's a really new thing, and we'll see. For example, the last Axie had around 30, 35 buyers, subscribers, whatever how they are calling those. I still think we will see way more and way more people as we will see some of these, not flaws, but some of these things about in-game items and so on being improved. We'll see how things are evolving. For me, it's still a really interesting thing. So, we'll definitely see the improvements.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I kind of think you have to just experiment with these things and not worry about the money side. So the first one I did, that decentralized land, decentralized land, get it right. I bought like 0.1 ETH and I sold for 0.9 ETH, so I lost 0.1 and then sold for 0.09, so I lost a bit on that. So I think it's good to experiment and not expect to kind of make money on them. I think there are some interesting things coming up. I know Alex Amstel, I think he's going to put his whatever it was, it was his the big Baus Monster boss from Neon District. I think he's planning to put that on there and then do something with the shards, that if you own the shards, you get some sort of access. And I think also Marguerite from Blockade Game is actually going to, she's creating an NFT of herself.
Yeah, exactly. I saw that. Yeah, interesting.
And then she's fractionalizing it. I don't know if she's doing that, how she's doing that, if it's through the Niftix thing or not. But then people can own like shards of her, and she's going to be like a syndicate boss. It all got a bit complicated. I couldn't quite follow how it was going to play out. But it's obviously it's an experiment, so I guess they don't know. But
yeah, sure.
But it is interesting when you start taking these concepts and then release, you know, these smart people then try and take them to the next level, that you kind of start to build again. It kind of like the Marguerite thing almost becomes like a DAO, doesn't it? A decentralized autonomous organization where the ownership gives you then access to this group of individuals. And you kind of think with Marguerite, because she just knows everyone, then to some people, if they're not in the space, to kind of, it's almost like getting, you know, people spend a lot to buy dinner to have dinner with Warren Buffett or something. You know, if you wanted to get involved in blockchain game space, to own a shard that give you access to someone like that and her community is kind of valuable in and of itself. So you start these very interesting kind of models happening.
Yeah, sure. I mean, as far as I know, like the guys from Niftix have like at least a lunch per day for the next, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, I think. I mean, we were discussing a bit on Discord and so on. So they are pretty busy. They are, because at the moment they are still preparing all these launches manually. I think they are, I'm not sure, because they are different NFTs, different tokens. So some of them have a proof function. Some of them don't have that function, for example. So probably it's a little bit more difficult to kind of create a factory smart contract that could automate all this process. So at the moment they are still manually launching all these NFTs that are sharded, but we'll definitely see improvements in this, because yeah, I mean, we've seen also Vladimir from Blockchain Cuties that they're also like putting up for sharding at least a few really rare cuties. So yeah, that's nice. I mean, we'll see nice launches.
And it's a good way as well, just on like a marketing thing. I think that, you know, to get your NFT launched through there is kind of like a marketplace. And I guess it's interesting with Blockchain Cuties, because I know they're going through a big update at the moment, as they kind of, they're on this big, a bit like Axie Infinity, you know, they're preparing, their game evolves all the time, and as they're going through, you know, the different stages to get to like a fully fledged kind of permanent land system as well. So it's good for them, because they've been quite quiet recently, so I think that'll get them some good publicity. Okay, so should we talk a little bit about DeFi?
Yeah, sure. I mean,
DeFi doesn't stop.
Exactly.
So I guess we've spoken about comp before, so maybe good to start with comp. So comp seems to have calmed down a little bit. I noticed the price is what is the price now? It's down from about 50% from its peak.
Yeah, I mean, it was expected, I would say. So
I actually was looking on my wallet the other day, and I saw that I have I think I have a dollar of comp. I think I've earned a dollar of comp, so I'm happy.
Yeah, I actually like just I'm talking a bit about Balancer. I also like went became a liquidity provider on Balancer. So I earned around, I don't know, $20 something like this in a few weeks. So that's good.
I have to be honest, I had a look at Balancer and I couldn't really work out how it worked. It was I'm kind of technical to some level. It's always dangerous to say you're technical, because people will always assume you know everything. You know, I'm technical to a certain level. But then there's a few things where you just kind of look at them and you kind of like, you know, kind of tilt your head and read about it and just go, I'm not quite exactly sure how this one works. So maybe I have to have another look at it. I was listening to a podcast about, and they were talking about Balancer, and it sounded really interesting. It said you can put in like multiple tokens and then kind of create like a little portfolio, really, because you're putting in up to 8 tokens, they said. But on the UX I saw, you could only put up to 2 tokens, and everything and all the percentage splits were all set up for you. But maybe you have to be like a proper coder to do the complicated thing. But
yeah. We can cover Balancer in a future podcast. I think it's interesting.
I'll have to. Yeah, that'll be my homework then. Have another look at Balancer. There was actually something that I was looking at, where it was, which one was it? Goodness. Is it Aave, I think? And talking about liquidity pools where, no, it wasn't Aave, it was a different one. It was one of these ones, one of these aggregators. What was it called? It was one that used to be called DeFi Zapper. They've changed their name, haven't they? It used to be called DeFi Zap, and now let me see. What
it's called. Now it's Zapper?
Just called Zapper, isn't it? Yeah, it's now called, yeah, DeFi Snap and DeFi Zap became Zapper. But they were doing these things where you could, it was called bridging. So if you had these Uniswap liquidity pools, you could, instead of like taking some of the liquidity out and that takes, you know, and then put it back into something else. Like a lot of these DeFi dApps or interfaces now, what they're doing is they're putting multiple transactions into one transaction to save you gas fees. But you could basically take some liquidity out of one pool and like bridge it into a different pool, and it would and this kind of single action would do all the would do the withdrawal and the token exchanges and that kind of stuff. Again, in my simple blockchain head was like, oh, that's really cool. And then you start to think that's actually really, there's really complicated things that they're packaging up to be very simple, and that also can be dangerous. So it was, I think for the last kind of month, my view on DeFi is still very positive, but equally my worry about complexity and risk just goes up and up and up.
Yeah, sure. I think more you understand how things are actually working and kind of working together, even the smart contracts talking to one and the other, basically, I think you can actually understand also like better the risks and so on. So yeah, at some point, like you can just go to InstaDApp, for example, and it's so simple. Like you just put some tokens or some Ethereum there, and then everything happens for you. Like you don't need to do anything. But obviously, there are like so many things happening on the background. So more you understand what's happening, more you understand also the risks and so on.
I have to say, I've always put this in my articles with DeFi, but it is, you know, it is something I really do think more and more about. Is, you know, if I put $100 or $500 in one of these things, if that value all, you know, if that disappeared somehow, I'm not saying, you know, it's a hack or it's just something went wrong or whatever, you know, how would I feel about that? And I think that's quite a important process to go through when you're, because it just seemed, I mean, one of the things about decentralized dApps is that you just do them, you know, that's the whole point, is you have the authority to do what you want with these tokens. But equally, I think sometimes we'll kind of think back, you know, and actually for a lot of people, you know, when it comes to financial decisions, they don't really want to make those decisions. They don't, you know, they either aren't interested in them, or, you know, they want someone who's a like professional to help to advise them in what to do. So I think it'll be interesting, I guess, over time, if DeFi is going to get bigger, how you kind of, I'm sure some services will have to come up to kind of, you know, become kind of trusted professionals in the space to say, you know, well, I don't think you should be, you know, this dApp is a bit more risky than this dApp sort of thing. You know, you have to have these kind of standards around it. And I know some of the people are kind of playing around with these sort of ideas, but I think it's going to become it's difficult. I was going to say it's going to have to become a bit more standardized, but that goes against decentralization. So, you know, I don't know where the balance goes. Right. Good. Well, I think that's enough of us talking for 1 week. I've got my homework to have a look at. What was I having a look at? I forgot.
Balancer. Yeah. I think let's look at Balancer and maybe even Aave, because they had some new announcements this week. So that would be great to cover them probably in 1 week. So that would be great.
Yes. No, we could have a look at that. So, okay. Balancer and Aave, a DeFi special next week. Good. Thank you very much for your time, Dragos. A pleasure as ever.
Okay. Thank you so much, John. Nice to talk with you.
And thank you for listening to Dapp Happy, the podcast from Dapp Radar. You can find us on all your podcast providers. We are talking every week across the range of dApps. So this week it was kind of games and DeFi. Next week looks like DeFi, but also talk about some of the social stuff as well. And we should probably do a gambling special at some point and high risk and all these sort of interesting dApps that are all in their own way kind of building out new business models, which we find fascinating, which is why we're talking about it. Hope you find it fascinating too. Thanks for listening to this episode, and come back next week.